Praise the Lord. Let's just stand tonight. Just keep that going softly. Let's just get our Bibles and we want to open reading of scripture tonight. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Turn with me to Isaiah 43. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Isaiah 43. Let's just start here at verse 5. It says, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And that's what we're looking for God to do in 2015, a new thing. We're going to forget all the things, amen, that are behind us in 2014. We're pressing forward into what he has for us in 2015. Amen. Before we have a word of prayer, I just want to just ask that you all remember Mother Tillman tonight in prayer. She had to go to the hospital on today. She had actually was attacked with some seizures. First time she's actually ever gone through that, but I believe she had either 9 or 10 seizures today. And, so the families there gathered just supporting her in every way. And we had a chance to go by and pray with her, and we thank God for that. And they've got her stabilized and everything, and, but just keep her in prayer. Her body's going through an awful lot. And we just want to remember her as well at this time as we go before God's great throne. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the privilege we have tonight to gather here in this precious place. Truly, it is a blessing. It's an honor, Lord. It's a privilege. We think about so many that are going out to parties and to celebrate the new year, Father, with drugs and alcohol. But we want to celebrate the new year with our praise, our adoration. We want to bring it to you. We thank you for bringing us through 2014 and allowing us to see 2015. What an honor it is, God. And we're going through we're transitioning into the new year with victory, Father. And we just know that you have everything under control. We remember Mother Tillman, Father, even at this time, that you would just touch her and her family as they're there to support her and just gather around and praying for her, and God, encouraging one another. Lord, we just believe that you are able to do the exceeding, the abundant above all we can ask or think. There is no case too hard for you. So, God, we ask that you would raise her up and that you would touch her body, God, and give her strength, Lord, to rise again. We pray that you would hear her prayer. She's been calling on your name, Father, throughout this trial. We pray that you would honor her request, God, and just touch her body. Bring complete and total healing, God, in only way that you can. Doctors can't do it, but we know you can. So we commit it now into your hands, God, and pray that you bless this service. Thank you for the saints that have gathered, those that are still on the way. Lord, give them traveling mercies. Those that are unable to be with us tonight, look upon them as well. And just ask that you have your way in this service. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, one more time. Oh, one more time. He allowed us to come together one more time. Yes, he did. One more time. Oh, one more time. He allowed. Yes, he did. Yeah. Come on, sing it again. One more time. One more. Yeah. Oh, he allowed us to pray together. Oh, to pray together. One more time. One more time. Yeah, 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 yeah. One more. He allowed us to pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, to pray. Yeah, one more. One more time. Yeah, yeah. Oh, one more. He allowed us to sing together. He allowed us to sing together. One more. We're grateful for it, Lord. It's one more. Yes, you did, God. You allowed us to sing together. Hey, one more time. Oh, say one more time, y'all. Yes, he did. Oh, he allowed us to come together. Yeah, we can come and worship his name. Yeah, one more time. Hallelujah. He didn't have to do it, but he did. One more time. He allowed us to come together. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, put those hands together and say one more time. Say, yeah. Oh, he allowed us to come together. Yes, you did, Jesus. Hey. We're grateful tonight, oh God. It's one more time. One more time. Yeah, he allowed us to come together. Yes, he did. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing it once more. Say one more time. One more time. One more time. Hey, he allowed us to come together. Yeah, one more. One more time. Yeah, one more. He allowed us, say, he allowed us come together. One more. He allowed us, say, now he allowed us to come together. One more. He allowed us to come. He allowed us to come together. One. He allowed us to pray together. Oh, he allowed us, oh, to pray together. One more time. Come on. He allowed us to sing together. Oh, he allowed us to sing together. One more time. Somebody praise him in this place tonight. Hallelujah.
He didn't have to do it, but he did. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You have won it all for me.
Come on, think about those words.
Hallelujah, say hallelujah. You have won the victory. You have won the victory. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You won it all for me. You won it all for me.
Death could hold you down. Come on, say,
death could not hold you down. You are the risen King. Oh, for you are the risen King. Seated in majesty, you are seated just in. You are the risen King, and you are the risen King. Hallelujah. Whoa. Hallelujah. You won the victory. You have victory. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You won it all for me, God. You have. Hallelujah. Death cannot hold you down. Say, death could not hold you down. You are the risen King, yes. Hallelujah. Seated in majesty, yes, you are, Jesus. You are seated in majesty. Hey, you are the risen King. Say, you are. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on. Death can hold you down. Say, death could not hold you down. For you are the risen King, Jesus. Hey. Seated in majesty, you are seated. Oh, you are the risen King, yes. Oh, come on, one more time. Death cannot hold you down. Say, death could not hold you down. Oh, you are the risen King, say. Hey, you're seated in majesty, Jesus. Oh, you're seated. You are the risen King. Oh, risen King.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, one more time. Hallelujah.
Say hallelujah. Oh God, you have won the victory. Hey, hallelujah. You have won it all for me.
Come on, give him praise tonight.
Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, blessed be his holy name. Amen. We got a couple more songs just in my heart that I want to sing tonight. Write things down, but just give me a moment here. I was just meditating and thinking on some of the songs that the Lord has just allowed us to do here, amen, this year, and just some of the songs that carried us through the year, and just really brought a sweet anointing. I'm grateful for his presence, amen, that we can come and feel it whenever we gather. I'm just grateful for that. Don't matter how many people are here, we can still feel the presence of Almighty God. And whatever we have need of, God is here to meet us at the point of our need.
Water, you turned into wine.
I just want to worship him tonight.
Oh, you opened the eyes of the blind. Oh, God, there's no one like you. Hey, there is none like you. Oh, into the darkness you shine. Oh, into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. Oh, it's out of the ashes we rise. Oh, for there's no one like you. Come on, lift it up tonight and say, hey, there is none like you. We declare tonight our God is greater. Say, our God is greater. Yes, he is our God. God, you are higher, higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Hallelujah. Nobody like our God. Our God, our God.
Come on, let's sing that chorus again. The verse again.
Water, you turn water. You turn into wine. Hallelujah. You open the eyes of the blind. Yes, you did. You've opened the eyes of the blind. And there is no one. Nobody can compare to you, Jesus. Oh, there is none. Oh, into the darkness you shine. Say, into the darkness. Oh, out of the ashes we rise, say, ashes we rise. There is no one. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, there's none like you, Jesus. Yeah, 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 yeah. Our God is greater, we say. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher. Oh, than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Hallelujah. our God. He's our God. He's our God. One more time. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher. Higher than any other. Our God is healer. God, you are awesome in power. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you're our God. Hallelujah, our God. And if our God is for us, hey, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? Say, what could stand against? What could stand? If our God, whoa, hallelujah, yeah, if our God, what could stand against? Say, come on, say it again. If our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? Say, what could stand against? What could stand? What could stand against? What could stand against? What could stand? What could stand against? What could stand against? Hey, what could stand against? If God be for us, what could stand? One more time, what could stand against? What could stand against? Then what could stand? Cause our God is greater. Yes, our God. God, you are high. Any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Come on, let's worship him tonight. Let's tell him how great he is. Dominion, power belongs to our God. He reigns forever and ever. He's not dead, but he's still alive, church. And he's involved in everything that we're going through. Thank you, Jesus. I think about the trials that we all had this year. The devil really threw his best shot. But tonight we stand in the house of the Lord. We still have a praise on the inside. In spite of our trials, in spite of our tests, we still have a praise on the inside. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Whoa! Yes, hallelujah. Oh, what could stand? Then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if, oh, what could stand? Come on, if our God, and if our God is for us, oh, then who could ever stop us? Say, if our God is with us, what could stand? Our God is greater. Our God is
God, you are higher. Any other, our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, oh,
my God, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes you have to have songs like that that just carry you through your trials. And no matter what you're going through, you have to be able to declare to Satan that your God is greater, your God is stronger. It doesn't matter what I'm going through, I still declare that my God is bigger than that. My God is able to turn that thing around. I believe he will turn it around. Hallelujah. It's a song that we learned, amen, when we went to North Carolina early this year to Brother Larry Nichols. The song says, there's nothing better than knowing Jesus. He will pick you up and turn your life around. Amen. You ought to know him. Get to know him. Right now, today, just come. Let's just sing a little bit of this tonight. Amen.
Right now, today, just come.
Come on, there's nothing better.
Oh, there's nothing better
than knowing Jesus.
Than knowing Jesus.
Hallelujah. He will pick you up.
He will pick you up and turn your life around. You ought to know him. You ought to know him.
Come on, get to know him.
Get to know him. Hey, right now, today. Right now, today. Just come.
Come on, come on.
Oh. Say, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, right now, today, just come.
Sing it again. Come on, come on,
come on. We invite you tonight. Say, come on, come on, come on, come on. Right now, right now, today, just come.
Hallelujah, there's nothing better than knowing Jesus.
There's nothing better.
Second verse.
Oh, than knowing Jesus. He gets sweeter as the day. He gets sweeter as the day goes by. Oh, see, you ought to know him. Get to know him. Come on, get to know him. Right now, today. Say, right now, today. Just come.
Let's sing that verse again. There's nothing better than knowing Jesus.
There's nothing better than knowing Jesus. He gets sweeter as the day goes by. He gets sweeter as the day goes by. You ought to know him. Say, you ought to know. Get to know him. Get. Yeah, right now, today. Right now, today. Just come.
Hallelujah. Come on, come on.
Say, hey, come on, come on, come on, come on. Right now, today, right now, today, just come. Hallelujah, come on, come on, come on. Come on. Right now, right now, today, just come. There's nothing better than knowing Jesus. There's nothing better, oh, than knowing Jesus. He will pick you up. He will pick you up and turn your life around. You ought to know him. You ought to know him. Get to know him. Oh, right now, right now, today, just come. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus.
My God. All right. Just turn around and greet somebody tonight. Say, God bless you. God bless you. Just greet them tonight. One more song, and I'll let you have your seats tonight.
Jehovah, you are the Most High. Everybody say, you are the Most. Jehovah, you are the Most High. Jehovah. Come on. Jehovah, you are the Most. Hallelujah, say you are. Oh, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, hey, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, oh, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Yes, you are God. Hey, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Thank you, Jesus. You are the Most. Oh, Jehovah. Hey, Jehovah. Jehovah. Hey, Jehovah. Come on. Oh, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Come on, say. Hey, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Hallelujah. Hey, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah. Oh, Jehovah. Jehovah, come on, lift it up. Oh, Jehovah, 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 Jehovah. Oh, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Oh, yes, you are. Jehovah, you are the Most High. Hallelujah. Hey, Jehovah. Hey, Jehovah. 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 Now Come on, put those hands together. Let the musicians play it. Come on. Time. Oh, Jehovah, you are the most. Yes, you are the most. Jehovah, you are the most high. Say it now. Oh, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, hey, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, oh Jehovah, you are the most high. Well, now you are. Oh Jehovah, you are the most high. Hallelujah, you are the most high God. Somebody worship him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Glory to his name. Thank you, Jesus. Yes! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory, 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 glory. Jehovah, hey! Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, come on. Oh, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, glory, 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 glory. Nobody like our God tonight. Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Certainly just appreciate his presence. I was just reflecting on this year, and you know, God has been good. God has been really, really good. I was thinking on I know everybody's not here tonight to be able to represent, but if I could just get a show of hands, how many this year God bless you with a new vehicle? New vehicle this year. This year. Look at that. Look at that. Look at God. Look at God. Praise the Lord. How many this year got a new house? New house. Now, I know a couple saints not here, but I know two families in the church that got new houses. Let's thank God for that. Now, how many this year God bless you with a new job? Oh, well, look at that. God has been good to us in 2014. He is worthy of our praise. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And if you didn't get a new job, if you just kept your job, God is still worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Amen. But just so much that he's done for us. Amen. Here in 2014. And we're just looking forward to all that he has in store.
amen, in 2015. I want to, amen, have at this time, Sister Zaddy, she's going to come and she's going to sing for us. So good to have the Daly family from North Carolina here with us, visiting family, and so good to just have them with us. Amen. God bless you. Y'all brought your guitars and all that? Come on.
Good evening, Saints. I just want to thank God for everything he's done for me, for all of us. He's been so good to us. I can't even count on my fingers or my toes how many blessings he's blessed my family with, and I know he's blessed yours with, all the saints all around the world. And coming into a new year, since my birthday, I mean, the Lord just been dealing with me with so many different things, and it's just a burning for that change, for that manifestation of him within us in flesh. And the more and more you try to fight it, or you just try to go on nonchalant about things, there's something within you that just doesn't rest. And I thank God for that, because if we didn't have that, we would just think that, you know, going along the way we do is fine, and it's not, because the time is short. So I just thank him for everything that he's done with me, and coming to the new year, there's some things that I will be doing that would just free me to be able to just get into his presence, and it's just going to be me and him. I'm not even going to put a time limit on it, no months, no days, no nothing. It's just me and him in 2015, because if I don't do it now, then it's just not going to happen. It's a now or never, as I discussed with someone that I know. And I just want to sing these two songs to his glory tonight, and to bless you guys and to encourage you. And I love him so much, and I just thank him. Though we may mess up in the flesh all the time, we can't look at this flesh. If we look at the flesh, we will always fail. But we have to notice that God within us is the one who's doing the work. So I just want to sing this to his glory.
I have decided, determined, I'm committed, that I'll run no matter the cost. And I have decided, determined, I'm committed, that I'll run. Even though at times it may get hard, I'm going to run this race. I'm gonna take my proper place in the winning circle. I'm going to run this race. I don't know where or when or how, but I know that I'm going to make it. Oh, I'll run this race now so safely in amazing grace. I made up my mind, I don't have much time, but I'll run till I finish. I have decided, determined I'm committed. Matter the cause, and I have decided, determined I'm committed, that I'll though at times it may get hard, I'm going to run this race. I'm going to take my proper place in the winning circle. I'm going to run anyway. I don't know where or when or how, but I know that I'm going to make it. Oh, so safely in his amazing grace, I made up my mind. I don't have much time, so I'll run till I finish. Lord, I will lift mine eyes to the hills. No wing my help is come.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Oh, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God. God bless you, Sister Zaddy. We really appreciate that tonight. Amen. The Lord richly bless you. Praise the Lord. Sister Gabby, amen. I was told she had a song that she wanted to sing tonight. So let's welcome Sister Gabby. Amen. Amen. Has the Lord been good to you? I said, has the Lord been good to you? Praise the Lord. God bless you, Sister Gabby. We certainly appreciate that. I think that's everybody's testimony in here tonight. God's been good to me. Amen. Amen. Sister Rachel's going to come and sing a song for us tonight. Amen as well. Let's just welcome her as she comes. Amen.
I would play while I talk, but I can't do that. So I just want to give a brief testimony, if that's okay. This year, honestly, the devil tried to take me out. That's all I can say. And I remember last year, September. It was September, actually. I just started going through a lot, and Brother Caleb came through around that time. And he started saying, you know, Sister Rachel, if you can receive it, God will do something for you, things like that. And I remember praying within myself, like, Lord, let him call my name again. If that was you trying to speak to me, let him call my name again. And he did. And I was just like, but you know, God, in my heart, I don't want to do it anymore. And so I went through the most of the year just going through the motions, not really wanting to be here. Even going as far as asking Brother Jack, can I please not play anymore? I just don't want to play. And the devil, I just let him really just beat me up. And it got to the point where in July, I remember when we went to D.C. and we went to the Library of Congress, I was sitting there and Brother Jack and Sister Erica went in and I didn't think any much of it. I didn't know why we were there. I actually thought we were there because Sister Erica is into stuff like that, so I thought we were there for her. And I remember Brother Jack coming out, and he had this huge grin on his face, and I'm like, what's he bringing? And the lady had the picture of Brother Branham in her hand with the pillar of fire over his head. And at that moment, I said, this is the real picture. And Brother Jack said, yeah, this is the real picture. And at that moment, I remember just thinking, this is real. Like, this message is real. What we believe is real. And I came home, and throughout the year I had been thinking of this a song. I wish I could sing it. I've seen too many victories to let defeat have the last word. And I would just sing that song over and over to try to get myself up. And after a while, though, it kind of just faded. It kind of just faded into my memory. And then recently, I found a list that I wrote back in 2014, about November time, of things, 21 things I wanted the Lord to do for me in 2015. I wrote the list in 2013 that I wanted the Lord to do for me in 2014. And of the 21 things, 16 he had done. And the ones that were left were things like go back to school. I had to do that myself, you know. But the things that I asked him to do, he did them all for me. Every trial, one thing I wrote down was built more character in me. And when I saw that one, I just started to cry. And I'm like, that's why I went through everything I went through. I told a friend, I'm like, if you write a list, don't ask for character. Don't ask for character because God will try you. But I remember in July when I got back, we had a youth service. And when we had that youth service, I sung the song Better. And when I sung the song Better, it was my testimony basically of God doing something in my life and restoring me. And I remember after church, I went to go get something to eat, and Sister Michelle said, I haven't heard you sing like that in a long time. And I said, yeah, you know. And she looked at me and she just said, welcome back. And when she said that, I just felt like every chain that was on me, it just fell when she said that. She just said, welcome back. And it was just like, God, that was exactly what I needed to hear. And last year when Brother Caleb came and he started when he called my name, that night we went to Brother Gene's church in Boynton and they sung the song, He Knows My Name. And I just started like praising and thanking God for calling me out in service and things like that. And then that was last year, September. This year, September, I went to Brother Gene's church one Sunday morning to go visit some friends that were in town. And the anointing just fell, and the song leader, it was almost a year to the date, the song leader just started singing, He Knows My Name. And I was like, everything that God had spoke to my heart and everything that God had confirmed in my heart last year just came back like a rushing wind. And everything just became more real to me. And I said, you know what, Lord, I'm not going back. I can't go back. There's nothing to go. I had gotten to the point where I couldn't leave, but I didn't want to stay, but I had nowhere to go. And, you know, I didn't want to go out into the world, but I didn't want to be in church. And I was just at a stance. I didn't know what to do. And finally, I just made that decision. And all year, I've been listening to that message from Brother Branham, A Time of Decision. And I just made that decision that, Lord, I'm just going to follow you. So this song, I wanted to sing it again because it is truly my testimony about how things do get better. Doesn't matter what you go through, things do get better. And God is just working everything out for your good to build you up to who he wants you to be. And sometimes we don't realize that the trials we go through are answers to prayers. At the time, I didn't realize that everything I was going through, God was slowly answering everything on my list. And one of the things on my list was a new car. And when my mom got her new car and gave me her old car, I was like, God answered prayer. I got a new car. Never in my wildest dreams did I think that I would be getting a really brand new car. I did not think that at all. And the way God worked it out, it was just completely God. And he just showed me, you know, whatever I asked for, he's there to give. That's why when we were at Brother West Coast Church and Brother Chisinde said, write down what you want, I wrote down. I just started writing because I was like, I've seen God do it for me before. And I know he'll do it again. And when Brother Jack said it this Sunday that just passed, I started writing some more stuff down. And I'm like, I'm expecting it to happen in 2015 because he's done it for me before. So I just want to sing this song, and it is my testimony. So God bless you.
I used to be so broken.
Lord a hand of praise. Come on, give God a hand of praise. Tell somebody it gets better, it gets better, it gets better. Glory to his name. My God, amen. We appreciate that from Sister Rachel tonight. Amen. Appreciate just her words and just the song. I think that's everybody's testimony. Amen. And thank God. And there's many trials, certainly, that we all go through that. And Satan just try to just make it bitter. But in the midst of it, God is making everything better. The Bible says all things work together to give to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. So we thank God for every trial. Amen. We thank him for every victory. Praise the Lord. Let's prepare, amen, for tithes and offering on tonight. And after we finish that, we'll have Brother Gene Gabode come out and be speaking for us tonight. We're so happy to have him. So good to have Sister Gabode as well with us on tonight. The Lord bless them to be here with us. Very grateful. Man, I was telling Brother Gabode that they were trying to get Mother Tillman this morning. They were telling, say, we got to go to church tonight. We got to go to church. And they say, you know, one of your favorite preachers going to be there. She say, who? Brother Smiley? They say, no, another one of your favorite preachers. Say, oh, the tall brother. Say, yeah, Brother Gabode. So she was looking forward to being here tonight, and Satan just attacked her body, and they had the whole family just kind of rallying around coming out tonight. But we just thank God, you know, for all things, and we know God has everything under control. Let's pray, amen, over tonight's offering. Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to give tonight. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would use this for the furtherance of your kingdom. We thank you for another year that you have provided, amen, for each and every one of our needs. You have provided here at this church, Lord, taking care of our bills. You've provided for the needs of your people in their homes. God, you have proven yourself over and over again. And we look forward to all that you have in store for us in 2015. We trust, God, that you would just get all the glory and all the honor. Pray that you bless our giving here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for Brother Wilner and man, his son's being with us tonight. He's a pastor here in the area, and come to find out, amen, one of his sons there is also a preacher, and so I'm going to get him at one of our youth services as we come into 2015. We're going to have him come and preach for one of the youth services. We're looking forward to that. But I didn't know that these young men are also fabulous musicians, keyboard player, drum player, and bass guitarist. And so that's why I asked them earlier, did they have the instruments, because they can lay it down pretty good. But we'll be looking forward to connecting, amen, with them as well here, amen, in 2015. So God bless you. Amen. We want to get Brother Gene up to speak, and Brother Wilner, we'll have you just say a closing prayer tonight, amen, after the word and everything has gone forth, all right? Let's just stand, amen. Let's welcome God's servant to the pulpit, Brother Gene Gabode, amen, from Orlando, Florida. I can face tomorrow because he lives. Oh, all fear is gone because I know, oh, he holds my future. Oh, yes, he does. Life is worth it. The living is just because he lives. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it one more time. All because he lives.
Dear Lord, for the opportunity that you've afforded unto us that we could be here this evening, dear Lord. Father, there's no better place that we would rather be, dear Lord, but in the house of God. Especially, dear Lord, as we see the world is rallying behind, dear God, a celebration that for a change of a new year, dear God, and for each individual, dear Lord, they're probably, dear God, going to celebrate in their own ways or fashion in their own manner, dear Lord. But Father, dear Lord, how rewarding it is to know that the sons and daughters of God, our desires was to be in a place, to God, that we could worship you, dear Lord. That is how we want to celebrate the new year, dear God. Father, in remembrance of all the things that you've done for us, dear God, how you've blessed us, how you've watched over us and protected us, dear God, the trials that we went through, dear God, and how you helped us overcome, dear Lord. And Father, dear Lord, we come here, dear Lord, it is only by your grace, dear Lord. And Father, dear Lord, as we sunset an old year, dear Lord, we look with anticipation for a sunrise of a new year, dear Lord. And Father, dear Lord, as I was explaining to my brother, dear God, I'm just encouraged to know, dear Lord, that I'm 1 year closer to a body change. Dear Lord, I believe, dear God, that these sermons, dear Lord, are going to be much more than just precious words that we preach, but a reality of what we believe, dear God. And Father, we want to believe and hold on to that which is true, dear God. And Father, you're more than welcome into this place, dear Lord. And Father, dear Lord, we commit every spirit, we command every spirit subject to your word this evening. Anything that would be a distraction, dear Lord, may you remove it from this place. Oh, Father, dear Lord, we might be few in numbers, but we know that the angels of God are with us, dear Lord. And Father, dear Lord, oh, Father, hold not back our tongue, but let us respond to every word with a yes and an amen, dear God. And as much as the world has something to joy about, dear Lord, how much more the sons and daughters of God. Oh, Father, dear Lord, we want, dear God, with every fiber of our being, dear Lord, to give you the praise and glory that you alone are worthy of. And, dear Lord, we want to remember our precious sister, dear Lord, so eager to have been here this evening, dear Lord. And, Father, as you pour down a special blessing upon us, dear Lord, may you remember our precious sister and her family, dear God. May a portion of heaven be given unto her as well, dear God. We commit our precious sister and her family into your hands, dear God. Oh, Father, we commit the remainder of this service, the remainder of this evening, this remainder of this year into your hands. Have your perfect will in our lives. And the bride says, amen and amen. God bless you, saints. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I try not to keep you too long, maybe only until next year, which is really not that long. Ephesians 2. I'd like to minister a little simple thought. God, rich in mercy. God rich in mercy. I'm always humbled by an invitation to come by and just share the grace of God, and it just worked out really well because I was able to get off work at a pretty reasonable time and went back home and was able to make my way in, and traffic wasn't too bad, and I just feels real good to be in the house of God. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read a few verses, and I'll let you have your seats, and then while you're having your seats, turn with me to John chapter 8. So Ephesians 2, it reads, starting at verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated and turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 1. "Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and then early in the morning he came again in the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? They said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know, when I begin to kind of think about this little lesson, especially kind of starting it off in the book of Ephesians, how the Bible talks about how, and you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. And, you know, it's just striking to me because I'm one that like to really kind of dig into the scripture and just, you know, really let the scripture talk to me. Yes, sir. Because oftentimes we're distracted by other things of the world. But it just behooves us to kind of take the time and just let the word kind of just settle in a little bit. And so the Bible says, you has he quickened. Now, this is very personal to you and me. And while others may have cast it as not meaning anything to them, it's something that means something special to me. And he has quickened us. He's made us alive. And bear with me as I kind of build this foundation, because I think this is important before we transition over to John 8. And so he has quickened us who were dead in trespasses. So we had a certain alienation from God. We were indifferent. We had different appetite. We had different styles and different taste and different approach. You know, we were a different group of people. And so Paul is picking up this portion of scripture, and he's saying, this was your history. This was your past. This was who you were. And Paul was very mindful, saying, look, not only you, but even I, as a first church age messenger, I was lumped into that as well, because, you know, I wasn't born praising God. You know, I wasn't born saying hallelujah. You know, I was born with an attitude. I was born in a lying. I was born, you know, in a backslidden condition. I was born with a worldly nature. And like you that needed God, I needed a Savior too. And so that's the reason why he says, among whom also we had our conversation, or we had our conduct. So he's saying, look, I'm no different than you. I used to be a bad boy, a bad man, just like you were. So I'm not anyone special, but I do carry a special message. And he says, look, this was your history. This was your past. And it's so important, because you could only appreciate where you are knowing where you came from. Because you didn't get here by yourself. And you're not going to make it over there by yourself. So God plays a very important role in your life's direction. And for us to be able to make it through an entire year, where we could still find ourselves at the end of a whole year here in church, it's not by just your willingness to come to church, but there was something stronger within you that was calling you to come to church. And that very thing that, because you have an option. You're a free moral agent. You could do whatever you want to do. You know, and I shared this with another church before. I said, you know, I don't blame the message for what I want to, for what I can't do, and from what I'm supposed to do. That's not the attitude of a believer. You know, you don't say, well, I can't do this because the message doesn't allow me to. I have to do this because the message tell me to do so. You know, don't blame your what you can and cannot do because of the message. The reason why you don't want to do something is because the love of God that resides within you, you have no desire to go against the word of God. The message is not a gun that's pointing at your head. You could walk away from this if you want to, but there's something greater that keeps you grounded to this word. You could turn your back on this message if you want to, but something constantly is pressing you forward. Let me tell you, it's more than just a ministry of a man, but it's the ministry of God that's working in you. And he says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. That was your pathway. That was what you thought you were. And you know the story very well. You were born in a chicken coop, but you were really an eagle. And you acted like a chicken, but you really never fit in. You try to talk the language. You try to do the walk. But you was just always off base and off key a little bit. You spoke with an accent. You really didn't fit in. And God intended it that way. Because you were never born as a chicken. You were born as an eagle. You had a case of mistaken identity. But the moment you heard that eagle's cry, you say, you know what? Something resonates in my heart. And I identify myself with that sound. There's something greater than what's clucking on the ground. But you begin to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. You know, we live in a sad state of affair where the world is just falling apart.
And people said, man, you know, you have, you know, nations are in distress. There's turmoil everywhere. And, you know, we see the rise of terrorism. And I don't think it's by any accident, because I think the natural types the spiritual. And the reason why we see the rise of terrorism is because the church is being terrorized. The bride is being terrorized. Whatever's happening naturally, that's exactly what's happening spiritually. The economy is failing. Oh, sure, they say it's on a rebound. Nations are falling apart. And even now, with California, with all the earthquakes that's happening in diverse places, in Haiti, in Chile, in Japan, scientists are baffled as to why nothing hasn't happened to California, and they're saying it's long overdue. Let me tell you, saints, we have a lot to do with that. And then we begin to see homosexuality on the rise, where the government institutions are passing laws that allow these things. And somebody asked me, they says, you know, what do you make of all these things that's happening? I say, you know, I'm kind of excited about all these events that's taking place. They say, I thought you're supposed to be a man of God. I says, I am a man of God. The Bible says when you begin to see these things come to pass, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. That tells me that I'm closer to a change in the body. If the world were to read the Bible, they would be just as excited as we are. Amen. And the Bible says, according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So keep in mind, the reason why you were one time disobedient, it's not because of you, but it's the spirit that was working within you. There was a nature that you possessed. And the Bible says, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. We thought it, we did it. It felt good, we did it. We didn't think about any consequences. We just did it. And the Bible says, and were by nature, so he's always using this in the past tense, and were by nature the children of wrath, because we had this old nature about us, judgment hung over us. So we acted like the world, we behaved like the world, we conducted ourselves like the world. And so therefore we weighed in the balances and we were found lacking. Judgment hung over us. When people looked at you and said, you know what, you have no hope. That was in times past. When people heard the foul mouth that you once had, this is, you know what? It's not even worth a prayer for him. That was me, saints. When people saw you, they said, you know what? I don't even think they know anything about God. And were by nature the children of wrath, judgment hung us. And the Bible says, even as others, just like the worldly people. That was our condition. Yeah. That was our situation. Right. We were under judgment. Yes, sir. But even in that state of affair, the Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy. God, who is rich in mercy. Thank you, Lord. And I can't but help think, in the very beginning when Adam was formed, what a masterpiece it was. And God looked at his creation and says, man, this is a reflection of who I am. But then he goes on further and says, it's not good for man to be alone. So he gave him a helpmate. And what a masterpiece she was. And Adam loved her so much that in the cool of the evening, that God would come down and fellowship with them. And if she got a little bit too warm, he would just command the winds and the cool breeze would just come by. What fellowship they had in the Garden of Eden. But there was an enemy that was lurking in the background, seeking an opportunity to break down that fellowship. And the opportunity presented itself. And through that, the serpent wielded its way. And the prophet says that he planted his seed of complete ruination. And so when Adam came into the scene, the damage had been done. But the love that he had did not change. Even in that pathetic state, he still had a longing for her. And it was not sufficient enough to just preach her a sermon. It was not good enough to preach her a good gospel. It was not good enough to preach her a good message. Because that wouldn't have saved her. Hearing good teaching wouldn't have saved her. Hearing a good word wouldn't have saved her. But Adam had to quickly think. He had to quickly act on the scene. And so what did he do? He put his own seed inside of that bride. So when God came at the time of judgment, and he would have killed her right there and then, the prophet says. But God looked down into that womb and saw the very seed of Adam. And God knew that he could not kill her, because by killing her meant he was killing a part of Adam, which meant that he was killing a part of himself. So that very seed, that very life, became the salvation of that bride. God, who is rich in mercy, it was not only a message that saved her, but it was the act of Adam. Let me tell you, it's more than a message that's going to cause a body change, but it's going to take a token. It's actually going to take a life that could change me from this mortal to immortality, from this corruption to incorruption. Because let me tell you, if all you have going into 2015 is this message, let me tell you, you're blind. It takes more than this message. It takes this message becoming a written epistle in this heart. They may not know what a prophet is, but they will know the life of a prophet. They will know the message of a prophet. How will they know it? It's by the way we live our life. I'm more than just a sermon. I'm more than just a quote. I'm a Bible believer. I'm a son of God. Don't let the devil define what you are. God, who is rich in mercy, whereas he loved us and we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places. So in order for you to sit, you got to have a position. I don't know if your church is like this, but my church, everybody have their own assigned seat. If you run late and somebody's sitting in your assigned seat, it causes confusion. Right. We come walking in a little bit late. Someone's sitting in our assigned seat, Brother Jack. And my wife and I, we got to go back and kind of have a plan. Well, what are we going to do? Because it just throws everything off. Everybody got to have their assigned seat. That's how I know who's in church and who's not in church. You know, it's like, brother, I haven't seen you for the last 2 weeks. Like, brother, I've been in church. Oh, you haven't been sitting at the same spot. It's through the assigned seat. But the Bible says you're seated in heavenly places. That means you have a position. No one can take your position, because that's where God puts you. God made you who you are. You don't have to be like somebody else. You be what God made you to be. The Bible says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Even you could, a woman could have twins or triplets. Not one of them is identical. Because God made that individual who they are. Don't try to be like anybody else, but be what God made you to be. You're seated together in heavenly places. He raised us up together, made us together in heavenly places. And then he says, in the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. So having said that, the Bible talks about this woman. You know, when you read the scripture, everything is deliberate by God. Nothing's by accident. So Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again in the temple. And all the people came unto him. And he sat down and he taught them. You know, very similar to perhaps why he must, there was a need for him to go by Samaria. There was a reason why he needed to go to Mount Olives. Something was getting ready to happen. And he wanted to be there on the scene. And so, early in the morning, he gets up and he goes to church. And as he's ministering, the service is going good. And he's preaching to the people and he's teaching them. And they're having song services, testimonials, and all these good things. The devil always try to find a way to kind of, you know, disrupt that atmosphere. You know, because you could be in your car just worshiping God and you get that troubled phone call. The devil's always finding a way to kind of bring disruption in your life. Because he doesn't like to see when there's joy in your life. He doesn't like to see when there's victory in your life. And so here was Jesus in this scene, in the temple. And all the people came on to him and he sat there and he's teaching them. And they're having a glorious time. And then there's a commotion that's in the distance, but he tried to kind of, you know, ignore it because he's in the middle of service and he's having a good time. And the commotion got a little bit louder. And before you know it, it came right at the doorstep of the church. And the scribes and the Pharisees were hollering and screaming, and then there was a mob of people. And they brought to him a woman taken in adultery. And they threw her right in front in the midst of this massive audience. Can you just imagine the situation? You know, that's just like the devil to drag you to the ground. You know the reason why the devil likes to drag you to the ground? Because the Bible says that God told the serpent, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat. And God told Adam, curses the ground for thy sake. And ever since then, the devil has been trying to beat you down into the ground. That's the reason why when we're out there in the world, we say, man, I'm going to go ahead and beat that guy down. Because the devil is trying to identify you with the curse of the ground. And that's the reason why when death calls the body, it calls the body back to the ground. But that's the reason why at the same breath there has to be a resurrection. Because we're not identified with the curse. That's the reason why the Bible says come up a little bit higher. Because God has risen you to above stature. So they caught this woman in this very act. And, you know, there was a mob of people. They grabbed this woman, and in her shameful position, in her pitiful position, they bring her right to church. Because they wanted to humiliate her, put her to shame. Oh, but the devil was mistaken. Why would you bring her to church? They were bringing her to the judgment seat. They were bringing her so that way she could be judged. But little did they realize the very place that they were bringing her to be judged, that was the very place that was called the mercy seat. So what was judgment for her was actually mercy to her. And what was mercy to her was judgment to the crowd. Because the devil doesn't think that God would receive you in this pitiful state. But let me me tell you, when Adam and Eve fell, no matter how humiliating the condition was, it didn't change the attraction that God had for them. So the prophet illustrates it this way. He says, Michael would step up and say, I'm going to go down there. And God says, no, you can't go down there. Gabriel would step up and say, I'm going to go down there. He says, no, you can't go down there. He says, because this job is too big for either one of you. I have to go down there myself. And the Bible says he could not swear by anyone greater, so he swore by himself. You were too important for him to invest this in the hands of an angel. God himself had to come down and deal with the situation. A prophet couldn't do it. A preacher couldn't do it. But God himself, let me tell you, I could preach you into this message, but another man that's a smooth talker could preach you out of this message. But the moment that God convicts this message into your heart, there's not enough intellect that can talk you outside of this message. Because something solid, something anchored, something holds you. Because this was too great. So they took this woman and they drug her right there to the very presence of God. And if you could set the stage, the woman was just thrown on the ground and a mass of people with rocks in their hand all gathered around this woman. Oh, what judgment. What humiliation. And they come to Jesus and says, you know, they say, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. In the very act. You know what I like about Jesus? He's very cool, calm, and collected. Yeah. Yeah. Our God just doesn't react. Amen. You know, we hear the first news, we just start reacting. You know, those phone calls, what happened? We just react. But not God. He's always under control. You know, it's just like a brother illustrates. He said when Peter was coming out, he wasn't sneaking out so that way no one hears him. You know, he wasn't doing all that. Because God was in control. Right? He just walked right on. He's like, oh man, I forgot something. Because God's not going to bring you out of a situation. He's not going to bring you out of a situation. Only to bring you back into that same situation. So they say, Master, we've caught this woman. She was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law, you know, it's funny how they try to take his words and try to bring it back against him. Now, Moses, and they say, that's the way they get all religious on you. Let me tell you, when you're at work, you don't think they be paying attention. They're listening to every word you say. You may be quoting the prophet, you may be quoting the scripture. They're listening to everything you say. But the moment you slip up, they come running. I thought you said, your Bible said, and I quote. You think they're preaching a sermon at you the way they just quote that scripture. You said the Bible said in Timothy 3, so and so, that the Bible says you're not supposed to do that. Now why are you doing that? This is not Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say about this? They're talking to the very author of the word. He's the one that wrote the Bible. He's the very author of the scripture. And you're going to try to bring him into a trap? They said, we caught this woman, such a vile thing she's done. Now, the Bible says that we would get our big stones, the one that had the real ragged edges, and then we would take the woman out of far away, and we would kill her. But what does your scripture say? Because obviously you read a different Bible. You know what's interesting about that? They didn't have to bring her to Jesus because they knew what the scripture says. Because they could have just grabbed the woman and taken her outside and go deal with the situation. But I said, we're going to prove the word wrong. Every time you try to prove God wrong, you only position God to tell you the truth. You can't make God a liar. The Bible says that every man be a liar, but God be true. Amen. The devil says, well, I got one on God now, but you're still making God to be true. Hallelujah. They could have dealt with the situation themselves. And I want you to catch this because there's a spiritual application to all this. So here this woman, she doesn't even say a word. So now the Pharisees and the scribes are disputing with Jesus. And they say, you know, now they said, the Moses and the law commanded us to stone her, but what do you say? And they said this, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Now, you know, here's the way the devil works. Because there's more than just that scripture. How convenient. Because this message is not a message of convenience. We don't get to pick and choose what we like and what we don't like. Because in order for her to have get caught in the very act, it takes two people to be involved in this situation. Someone else was missing in the picture. That's just like the devil. He gets you in trouble and he leaves you all by yourself to deal with it. Oh, poor little thing. She was all by herself. But yet the scripture says it's both of them. That you grab both of them and you take them out and you stone them. But you're going to bring to me just a woman? Jesus could have easily asked, where's the guy? Let me tell you, if you're gonna rehearse the scripture, don't only rehearse the one that you like. Don't only say amen to the portion that sounds good in your ears. Because it's so good to say amen when the preacher is preaching something that you just know that you're living by. But those secret sins, whenever he begins to preach that, don't get quiet then, saints. You still got to say amen to it. This message is not a message of convenience. This is not a buffet. You can't just pick and choose what you like. Because I know how I am in a buffet. I go and I just get the meats. I don't get the salads. I don't get the lettuce. I don't get nothing else. I only get what I like. It's my wife who brings me the salads and brings me the rolls. And but this is not a buffet. You can't just pick and choose. If I could say amen to when it says I have victory, I could also say amen to when it says get the sin out of your life. But how convenient it was to say, well, Moses said, what, to stone her. Well, what about him? That's just like the devil. He gets you in trouble and leaves you by yourself. I knew a lot of buddies like that growing up. And so what happened was that, so Jesus looked at the situation. So they continued asking him. He lifted, so he stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground. And the prophet says this. He says he's never written anything except that portion of scripture. And then he says even then he erased it. Because he goes on to say, because he is the word. Who wrote the word. So he stoops down. He gets down. Perhaps at that time the woman was still on the ground. He just gets down there. He writes something. Probably whispers to her and says, you know, you're not by yourself in this. I'm right there with you. What a God. That in your lowest part of your life, he could get down right there with you. When all your enemies are surrounding you. When they're all around you. Because when Jonah was in the whale, all he saw was just flesh. All he saw was just darkness. But he knew that if he could pray towards the temple. So Jesus got there. He's like, you know, you're not by yourself in all this. I'm right there with you. And he's the same God that could get up and face your enemies. When you can't face your enemies, he'll face them for you. Even then, at that moment, the woman even didn't say one word. Why? Because Jesus was fighting for her. Don't always try to be the one to try to get the last word in. Don't try to fight your own battles. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Let God fight your battles for you. Let God bring victories in your life. So he got down. So when they continued asking him, they're like, man, he ain't paying us attention. He just, Jesus, we're talking to you, man. I mean, you know the situation right here. He just continued asking him. And he lifted up. He asked this question. Now, I want you to pay close attention because this is where it becomes, this is where it becomes a different point. He says, he asked one question, but there was a reason why he asked that question. Because he could have easily said, where are your witnesses? That's important. But if he would have asked that, perhaps some false witnesses would have came up. Then the next question he could have asked is, well, where is the man in all this? But then perhaps they would have said, well, you know, we tried to tackle him down, but he overpowered us, so he got away. The other question he could have asked is like, why didn't you deal this with yourself? Why did you need to bring it to me? But he already knew the answer to that. So the one question that he could ask was a question that dealt personally to them. A question that they couldn't escape from. So he says, he that is without sin. Right? Because you imagine the woman right there. He says, he that is without sin. Now it's, we came as a group. But now it's individuals. He says, you that are without sin, cast your first stone at her. Have at it. I'm with you all the way. You cast your first stone. And now it was dealing more with just the emotions of what they were going through. But now it was dealing with their heart. Because in the whole multitude, because he was discerning their hearts, and they knew that. He was discerning their hearts. So he says, you that's without sin, you cast your first stone. And so from the oldest, they started swaying back and forth, and you know, they're, you know, they were hot and they're tempered, and they got their rocks in their hands, and you know, one of them probably sitting there, well, I don't know what's going on. I just saw a mob of people running by, and I just picked up a stone, and I ran after the mob too. That's just how people are. We don't know what's going on. We just want to join in the bandwagon of gossip. We don't know who, we don't know who we're chasing, but we're just like, everybody start running. We start running too, and we pick up our stone, and we're running too. The mob stopped, and we're stopping like, well, who getting ready to stone? And the next thing you know, you're right there, and Jesus said, he who is without sin. And then you begin to think, well, I kind of did something last night. I mean, all right. Yeah, Bob, I remember what you did too. Now it's soul searching time. Because if you're going to commit that act against her, all of you, I'm going to expose all of you too. There's no hiding because she might have did what she did in the open, but I'm going to reveal what you did in secret. You wanted to trap the word. The word turned around and now it's trapping the very people that was accusing her. And they started thinking like, man, yeah, I know why. Well, I know what I did yesterday. And it was the oldest, right? Because you got 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. So, you know, you think about the time. Like, you've done some things. There's some things that just ain't under the blood yet. I know it's getting quiet because it's getting almost, you know. There's some things that just ain't under the blood yet. And so some people just stand there with the rock, swim back and forth, and start thinking about it. Like, you know what? I mean, I didn't see nothing. I don't know what she did. So it just don't make no sense for me to be part of this. They just didn't want, because they knew. They knew what Jesus was capable of. And they know what their guilt was. Because the Bible says they started to search the very conscience. Can we say praise the Lord? So you might have seen a few others just sitting there. Well, you know, I don't think I need to really get involved in this because one by one, they start putting their stones down. And I mean, these aren't little pebbles. These were big, big stones with, you know, I don't mean to say it in a funny way, but back in the days, if, you know, rather getting than being stoned, you know, give me a bullet. That'd probably be a lot easier for me, man. But you know, you get a limb, and I'm right here just flapping away. That's a painful experience. And so the oldest starts saying, you know what, maybe he has a point. Then they start walking, and then the youngest, who were just kind of, they maybe haven't done much, right? But they start thinking about what things they've been posting on Facebook. I mean, Twitter. Not Twitter. You know. Y'all were with me up to this point. So young people start thinking about what they're posting on Facebook, what they're posting on Twitter, what they're posting here, what they're posting there. And
Like, you know, man, I don't know, man, because my dad going to be happy if he knows about this. Hey, Dad, we probably need to go.
They got serious. They all started searching their hearts, searching the conscience. That's the word. The Bible says the word, the Bible says that the word is a two-edged sword. It goes deep into your conscience. Sometimes you have a hard time sleeping at night because God's dealing with you. The Holy Spirit makes you so uncomfortable until you can make that thing right. That's a good thing because some people, you know, it's like Brother Howard Carroll, he's like, honey, what? Like, you know, he was saying to his wife, like, honey, how is it that you sleep so well at night? She's like, a clear conscience. But God's dealing with you. Don't ignore that. So they started looking at it little by little. The Bible says being convicted by their own conscience went out one by one. I can just imagine the Spirit just going to each individual. Each individual. And then there was no one. They each parted their way. And Jesus, he turns around and he lifts himself up and he says, woman, where art thou accusers? Where are your accusers? Because just because somebody accuses you of something doesn't necessarily mean that you're guilty of it. Just because somebody calls you something doesn't mean that's what you are. No witnesses came forward. No one came and says, I saw her do this. And so Jesus says, he says, woman, where are your accusers? Now, where are those that witnessed this? Now, here's the interesting thing. He asked a question, but he just a moment ago just discerned their hearts. Why would he need to ask her that question? Now, I want you to catch this. He knew the answer. God asked you a question knowing the answer. So he says, where are your accusers? He knows the answer, but he wants to hear from your lips. Because what Jesus sees, he didn't see anyone there in the midst except for her and him. So he wants to make sure that your testimony lines up with what he sees. Don't accept the devil calling you something that you're not. So when she stood up, she says, there's no man around to accuse me. So she's saying, look, I don't see any accusers. And Jesus says, I support that testimony. And here's the interesting thing. This had nothing to do with the woman. She just got caught up in this. This was between Jesus and Satan himself. There was no one there to really find her guilty of the very act. The only one was there to accuse. But no one was there to say, look, I witnessed it. Uh-huh. They each walked away. Yeah. So Jesus used the word very cautiously. He says, where are those that accused you? Uh-huh. Because I don't find you guilty of this. Before the verdict was even rendered, before a trial was even set, before she had even came to the judgment or the mercy seat, God had already found her not guilty. Before Satan could put anything over your head, when you were drinking your beer, God says, not guilty. When you were running with the wrong crowd, God says, not guilty. When you had a foul mouth, God says, not guilty. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When Jesus hung on there on Calvary, and he looked, he says, it is finished. Let me tell you, he was not talking about the present time, but he was looking way down into the future, and he was looking at my birth, and that word spoke into my life. It is finished. When I was running out there with the wrong crowd, that word was still a promise to me. When I had a foul mouth, that word was still a promise to me. Let me tell you, me standing here is only a vindication of what that word meant when he spoke it back in Calvary. When he says, it is finished, he's talking about you. You are finished work of God. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. You might look at yourself and see nothing but failures and shortcomings. But when God looks at you, God sees an overcomer. God sees someone that's rising up to victory. God sees someone that's predestinated. God sees you already crossing the finishing line. When people say you're not going to make it, man, start dancing and rejoicing because God sees you already over there. They probably had the same story about Moses. You know, Moses had a temper. People were thirsty. And God says, you know, Moses goes to God and say, God, you know, people are thirsty. And God says, well, go and smack the rock. He's like, all right. Smoked the rock. Water start coming out. Moses, all tempered, he goes away. People start murmuring. Moses, that's all the water we're going to get. So Moses go back to God, and God says, go and talk to the rock. Moses like, all right, I'm going to go talk to the rock. Moses. He got all upset, tempered, smoked the rock. I can imagine a church member talking like, ooh, Moses done did it now. I saw it. He smoked the rock, and I heard God said, go talk to the rock, but he smoked the rock. He got a temper. He got to get that under control. And you know what's bad about that? Moses never even made it to the promised land. Woo! I know a lot of people must have put Moses outside. You know what? I know he's not on the other side. That temper got the best of him. But let's fast forward. Jesus went to show what the resurrection is going to look like. So he wanted to offer two examples. So he bring two men out of the pages of history. And when he went to show what a body change would look like, out came Elijah, and right next to Jesus, who was the unexpected person, Moses come walking right out. Hey, y'all. Let me tell you, heaven's going to be full of surprises. You might think it's probably the best speaker, the best preacher, the best prayer. But let me tell you, heaven's going to be full of surprises. It's the person that you least expect. That they might look like they have faults in front of you. But in that prayer closet, they're constantly making it right with God. And the ones that carries the name, those are the ones you're like, I don't see Brother Zone, so I thought he really was going to be there. And so Jesus lifted himself up and saw none but the woman. And he says, there's no man. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Not go and do the act no more, but go and sin no more. Because the prophet says that sin is unbelief. So go and don't believe what people say you are. Go and don't believe what people say you are. Believe what I say you are. Because I don't condemn you. I'm not judging you. Go and be what you ought to be. A reflection of this word. And the Bible says, in Revelation chapter 12, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The accuser of our brethren, the one that's been accusing you, telling you things, that's been bringing you down, has been cast down. Casting down all imaginations, casting down all reasoning, rising up above that and saying, Lord, I know what you've called me to be. I know what you've made me to be, and I want to rise to that occasion. Let's just all stand.
You love the Lord? Let's bow our hearts as we get ready to transition it back to Brother Jack. Lord Jesus, we're just so grateful, dear God, for your blessings and your mercy, dear God. Just a little simple thought that I just was encouraged to just share with your people, dear Lord. I trust that someone here was blessed by what was said. May they take these precious words to God. And Father, dear Lord, I'm sure someone with better eloquence could have delivered it much better than I have. But dear Lord, I just wanted to offer you my best, dear God. And I just trust that I was able to step aside and something was said, dear Lord, that was of encouragement to your people. I've seen time and time again how the devil often tries to beat down your believers, dear God, making them feel defeated, dear Lord, and making them feel down. But I'm inspired by scripture that motivates and encourages me, dear Lord, that reminds me that I'm more than just a mortal being that's lost in a sea of 7 billion people, but I'm an elect child of God. There's a purpose to my being, and that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of God, and nothing is by accident with you, dear Lord. But Father, I thank you for the predestination that you've offered me, dear Lord. And here shortly, we're about to enter a new year, dear God. May it be so, dear Lord, that the same zeal and passion that we've maintained all these years for the love of this scripture, may we take that into the new year, dear Lord. And with every sunrise, dear God, if I realize that I'm on this side of glory, I know that a rapture hasn't occurred yet because I'm still here, dear Lord. And let that be the strong belief of every believer here as well, dear God. Because we know that one of these glorious days, dear God, that this mortal must put on immortality, this corruptible must put on incorruption. Father, dear Lord, as we welcome this new year, dear Lord, just celebrating your name and your glory, dear Lord, Father, may you keep us, dear Lord. May that name, that there's no name above this name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No power can contend with it, dear Lord. And Father, may you just allow that name to just keep us and hold us, dear God. To know that we are made free. That the verdict was in our favor. That when the devil had made a point to try to bring us to the judgment seat, that very judgment seat became our mercy seat, dear Lord. God, who is rich in mercy. Despite the flaws in my life, dear God, yet I continue to press forward to reflect more and more of your image. Bless this group of people, dear Lord. Keep them into the new year. Keep the families intact. Oh, Father, the officers, may you bless this little assembly, dear Lord. May it strengthen itself. Oh, Father, may it be encouraged by the same words that God encouraged Joshua with. Be strong and of good courage. For as he was with Moses, so was he with Joshua. Father, I believe that you're with us. Yea, even so in us. We commit all things into your hands. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Brother Jack.
Mercy rewrote my life. Oh, God's mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh, you see, I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but God's mercy, well, it rewrote my life. Come on, think about it. same mercy well, it rewrote my life. Oh, yes, it did. Oh, God's mercy, well, it rewrote my life. I should have fallen, you see, I should have fallen. My soul cast down, but thank God, God's mercy, it did, it rewrote my life. Come on, let's sing it one more time. Oh, I'm glad that mercy, well, it rewrote my life. Oh, God's mercy, well, it rewrote my life. And you see, I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but God's mercy, well, it rewrote my life. I should have fallen. Oh, I should have fallen. My soul cast down, but God's mercy rewrote my life. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We certainly appreciate the word of the Lord from my brother Gene tonight. A God who is rich in mercy. Just every point that he was just bringing out there regarding that lady, and you know, you imagine her, and all we can do is just see ourselves, amen, in her position. But the grace and the mercy of God that's been extended to us when we were guilty as guilty could be, amen, his grace pardoned us, and we thank God for that grace. We should never take it for granted, amen. We should never take it lightly. It's only the grace of God. You know, everything, I believe in the message is the grace of God, right? You know, everything, our jobs that we have is the grace of God. The house that we have is the grace of God. Just the clothes that you got on your back is the grace of God. See, I mean, everything is attributed to his grace, and we should never, ever, ever forget that. I was, you know, one of the comments made there about, no one's holding a gun to your head with this message, right? You can turn and walk away anytime you want to. Nobody's forcing you. But I'm glad God put something on the inside of me that make me want to do this word, right? Amen. I'm inspired by this, right? I mean, I'm attracted to this. I want to live this, right? But I thank God that he put that on the inside of me. So we just appreciate the Lord. Well, church, the Lord has brought us, amen, from 2014 into 2015. And I think he is worthy to be praised. Praise the Lord. Glory to his name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody, Happy New Year. Amen. Happy New Year. My. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Happy New Year. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to have Brother Wilmer come and pray for us. Amen. In a second. I just wanted to read a little quote here from God's prophet out of the message, Revelation chapter 4, part 1. It says, so how many is glad and happy the Lord spared you through another year? Anybody happy about that? Amen. It says, here we are coming up to the end of the road, and pray that God will forgive us of all of our sins and our shortcomings. So I want to say this before I start. I wish to each one of you all the most successful and blessful and healthy new year that I can wish to you. God be with you. And I love this. May you grow both physically and spiritually. Come on now. Now, you know, I just like what the prophet's saying here, you know. Financially and materially. Amen. Now, that's not a prosperity gospel, but we still need some blessings in the Nether Springs. Right? He says, God be with you. May you grow both physically and spiritually and financially and materially. Everything that God can bring upon you, I pray that he'll do it. Amen. And one other place, Brother Branham said, I don't necessarily just say Happy New Year to you, but the greatest three words that he told us that we can tell anybody is, God bless you. Amen. So as we go into 2015, may God bless you. Praise the name of the Lord. My desire, passion, and lead is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I will be. Come on, say, that's what I will be. Thank you, Jesus. I will be what you call me to be. Everybody sing with all your heart. Say, I will be what you've called me to be. I'll say yes. Oh, and I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. Oh, Lord, I agree. My desire, passionately, is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I will be. Say, that's what I will be. Come on, one more time with all your heart. I will be what you called me to be, Jesus. Oh, yes, I will. Oh, I will be what you've called me to be. Yes. Oh, and I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. Oh, Lord, I agree. My desire, your passion in me is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I will be. Brother Wilner, would you come and just have a word of prayer? Amen. As we've crossed over into this new year, we thank God for it. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's say hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. As the prophet used to say, I feel very religious tonight because I've been blessed with the message of my brother. And we just started a new year, and I'd like God's people to pray with me. We're going to pray together, and everybody is good. You're going to have the opportunity to say thanks to God for the year, you know, that you had that opportunity to spend. You know, God saved you. He gave you the word. He gave you everything, and He had protected you, you know, from accident, danger, everything. Your family, your sons, your husband, your wife, your brother, your pastor, everybody. So let's pray together to thank God so you can start a fresh new year in the name of Jesus. Let's pray together, God's people. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you for that opportunity you gave us. Hallelujah. To be with God's people tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the message of the hour. We thank you for the hallelujah. Oh, my brother that brought the message tonight, and I've been blessed. Oh, I feel really, really, really just tonight because hallelujah. Oh, every single person, every single people tonight, I felt something and found something in this message. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for the year of 2000 that ended. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you for the protection that you granted us. Hallelujah. We thank you for the family of God. Hallelujah. Oh, that is there right now tonight to praise you, or to worship you, to say thank to you, because you have did a lot of things for them. Hallelujah. We thank you because you are, oh, hallelujah, the same today, yesterday, and forever. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless them. Hallelujah. And to let them go forward. Hallelujah. In this new year, 2015. Oh, hallelujah. To let that church grow up. Every member of this church can grow up in the word, in the message. Hallelujah. Oh, bring them the blessing that they need. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the family, each single family. Hallelujah. Oh, that is the form of this church. Hallelujah. Oh, we know, oh Lord, that you can grant that for us. Hallelujah. Oh, keep it us in the word. Keep us. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. May your name be blessed. Hallelujah. Bless your people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray. Keep up in the message. Keep us in the message, Lord. Hallelujah. Let us, hallelujah, oh, put into practice every single word. Hallelujah. Oh, make a change in your people's heart today. In your people, hallelujah, spirit. Oh, the young people of this church, let them, Lord, hallelujah, go according to that word. Oh, according to the message. I know, hallelujah, they are predestined. So many of them, they are predestined. Destinated one, hallelujah, and they will certainly, practice the message. They will certainly listen to your word, listen to your voice, hallelujah, in this time. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Granted, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We praise, Lord, and we appreciate you. Amen. God bless you, God's people.
Lord, I agree. My desire, passionately, is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I will be, and that's what I will be. Come on, let's sing it one more time. I will be, yes, I will be what you've called me to be. Oh God, I say yes. Lord, I agree. Oh, Lord, I agree. My desire passionately Oh, is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I will be. That's what I will be. Hallelujah. I'll say yes. 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 I agree. Say, I agree. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll say yes to you, Jesus. I'll say yes. 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 I agree. I agree. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll say yes. I'll say yes. 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 I agree. With all your word, oh God, every promise that you made me, oh, I'll say yes, oh God, I'll say yes, 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 I agree. Oh, my heart says yes, my heart says yes, hey, I'll say yes. Yes, yes, I agree. Hallelujah. I will be what you call me to be. Oh, I will be what you've called me to be. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord, I agree. Yes, I do, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I agree, and my desire passionately, oh, passionately, is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I will be. That's what I will be. Come on, give him praise tonight. Give him praise tonight. Everything that he's called us to be, that's exactly what we're going to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the service tonight. Thank you for every song that was sang, every testimony that was given. Lord, every word that was spoken, we give you praise. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done. To bring us into this new year, we think about all the grace that we have received in 2014 and so grateful for it. And as we go into 2015, God, we go with an attitude of gratitude. Lord, we pray that you bless each and every person. Amen. Here, those that were not able to be here tonight, look upon them as well. And God, we want to remember Mother, God, there in the hospital. We trust that you would just be with her and that you would raise her up for your glory and for your honor. God, we believe that it is not too hard for you. As I was sharing with the family, there was a condition much worse than hers, and that was Lazarus laying 4 days in a grave. His condition was much worse. But God, when you spoke and called his name, you called him out of that condition. And Father, you raised him to life again. We pray that you would raise Mother up from that sick bed. And that you, Lord, would allow her to live and just live life to its fullest. No case is too hard. Touch her body even right now. Renew her strength. Everything that these seizures have taken out, God, we ask that you would replenish and that you would put it back in, Father, even right now. Bless her family, God, as they support her. And God, just keep them strengthened and encouraged. Lord, help them to only believe. Even right now, to only believe, God, is our prayer. Bless Brother Gene and his precious wife as they prepare to get back on the road to go back home. Give them traveling mercies. Lord, all the other saints, Brother Leroy going back to Clewiston, give them traveling mercies. Those that will be leaving, amen, traveling near, God, give them traveling mercies. And God, keep us, Father, is our prayer until we're able to come back again on Friday night, Lord, for the service. We ask that you just be with us.
Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you have promised to do, and all that you're doing even right now. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. Bless the food that's been brought here tonight for a little fellowship. God, we just ask that you would just bless it even right now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And amen. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Truly, he deserves it. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. God bless you. We also wanted to thank the Lord for, amen, bringing Sister Michelle and the girls back home safely. Amen. Giving them a safe trip up north. Amen. Thank God for their safe return. Appreciate the Daily family being with us again. And Happy New Year to each and every one of you. God bless you. Next door, they have a few refreshments, so please make sure you get something before you go. Amen. God bless you.